Everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. God, who loves us and wishes to save us, has sent his only begotten Son in the flesh to suffer and die for our sins. And Jesus promised the coming of the Holy Spirit, who would teach us to remember all the things that the Lord had said, and who would give us life. And our Lord says in the Gospel that while something spoken against himself, the Son of Man, would be forgiven, the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit would not be forgiven. And we wonder why our Lord would say such a thing, since both the Son and the Spirit are God. And the reason is because what our Lord is trying to indicate in the Gospel is that the sin against the Holy Spirit is a sin against the light that God gives us in order to believe all that the Lord has taught us. It's a sin against the truth itself. So that, for example, when the Pharisees refer to our Lord as Beelzebul, who does a man who does the works of darkness, when in fact he's the Son of God who's doing the works of light, this is a sin against the light. And this kind of sin is probably very common today, although many from their youth are corrupted and only God knows their hearts. But when virtue is called vice and vice is called virtue, that's a sin against the light. When we invert the truth, it's satanic and antichristic, and it brings about death. And it's not unforgivable because God refuses to forgive it. It's unforgivable, relatively speaking, because a person who deliberately commits a sin like that places themselves beyond the ordinary help of grace. They indispose themselves to be converted. And so there is a need for a miracle of grace in many cases, where the sin of the Holy Spirit has taken place. But our Lord in today's Gospel makes this distinction, and it's helpful to remember that in order to save us, God, the Father, sent his only begotten Son on a mission in the flesh. So Jesus comes in the flesh, becomes incarnate, becomes one of us, and he speaks human words to us, to teach us, and his flesh is crucified and dies on the cross and then is raised up. And our Lord establishes a sacramental system, most especially in the Eucharist, in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, where his sacred humanity joined to his divinity is made present on the altar in a visible way. So the Son comes visibly. He also comes invisibly every time we receive grace. But his visible mission is this manifestation of the second person of the Blessed Trinity in the flesh. On the other hand, the Spirit comes also visibly, for example, at the baptism of our Lord when he manifests himself in a visible form, and at Pentecost. But we think of the work of the Spirit as more of a kind of invisible work. The Spirit blows where he will. He didn't become flesh like Jesus, but he is sent by the Father and the Son to help us remember all the things the Lord has taught us and to benefit from what the Lord has done for us on the cross. And so he is the sanctifier, and he works from within. Again, there is a visible manifestation of the Holy Spirit, just as the Lord Jesus works within our souls every time we receive grace. But there is this difference. And the reason I bring this up is because today we celebrate the feast of St. Teresa of Avila, the memorial of St. Teresa of Avila, who renewed religious life, specifically the Carmelite form of life and the Carmelite dedication to the contemplative life. And at the time that she began her reform, there was a lot of confusion in the world. There was the Protestant Reformation or revolt, and a denial of largely of the sacramental system. And you had both within the church and outside the church certain heretics that were detaching a true life of prayer from this rootedness in the incarnation of Christ, in the mysteries of Christ Jesus, in his life, death, and resurrection, and in the sacramental order, the heresy called quietism. And that's why in the reading that we read for the office of readings today, she talks about the fact that Christ is the only way to a contemplative life, and that clinging to him is the only way to live a full life of prayer. And that is because the way God has created us, we need signs and symbols. He speaks to us through the physical things that we are able to witness. So the sacred humanity of Christ remains always so fundamentally important. It's why our Lord established a sacramental system. It's why we all come into contact with the truths of our faith and with Christ himself through the signs and symbols of the liturgy. This is a fundamental way in which we come to understand the Lord. And through our contact with the sacred scriptures, day in and day out, these things remain fundamental to us. This is why also, and I care to mention this in this month of October, why something like the rosary is such a fundamental and very basic devotion within the life of the church, because it helps us to come into contact with the mysteries of Christ. Everybody, even little children, can learn the scriptures through the rosary, and by meditating in this way, and Lucia Fatima said that for most people, this will be the way that they learn how to meditate. You know, this was the great work of St. Teresa of Avila, and Lucia Fatima became a Carmelite also. This is the way that most people will learn how to enter into this kind of meditative and contemplative prayer. We need to cling to the mysteries of Christ, and this is what helps us to remember the things that are most fundamental and most important for our conversion and sanctification. And very often, the problem with people's spiritual life will be that the first thing they think about when they wake up in the morning is not God, not Christ, not the mysteries of Christ, but their problems, the things that bother them, the things that make them resentful or angry or whatever. Bishop Sheen famously said that there's two attitudes in the world, two philosophies. The one is represented by the man who wakes up and says, "Good morning, God." And the other is represented by the man who wakes up and says, "Good God, morning." And this clinging to Christ, to the mysteries of Christ, to the mysteries in sacred scripture, to the signs and symbols of the liturgy, is what helps us to reorder our memory, to the praying of the rosary, to keep our memory focused on the things that ultimately matter and make a difference and prevent us from going down the paths that lead us to sin and away from God and into discouragement or a lack of faith or whatever it might be. Meditation in whatever form, whether it be the rosary or our participation in the liturgy or our fidelity to mental prayer every day, these things are fundamental to helping us have the right attitude, to focus on Jesus and to remember him and his presence in our life and his power through the Spirit to enlighten us and to make us images of himself. May we have the may we pray for the intercession of St. Teresa of Avila today, that we may continue to cling to Christ and to the signs and symbols that he's given us, especially in the liturgy and most especially in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Fructum ventris tuum.